Now, how about other, say, American holidays? Did your family observe?
Well, 4th of July was always observed. Like I mentioned before, on mm-hmm. picnics, Thanksgiving.
I think all of our. Did you have a Thanksgiving turkey?
Yes, we would have Thanksgiving, or you know, a lot of Chinese people prefer chicken over mm-hmm. turkey. Still do.
I see.
And turkeys weren't that prevalent in those days, you know. Today they come frozen, they're wrapped and so forth, you just pick it up and pay the cashier. But in those days it was a bigger fuss.
Mm-hmm. So would you have an American dinner, style dinner?
I think most of our dinners were kind of half and half.
This would be during a typical week?
No, on the occasion,
when we had a
bigger dinner.
I see.
Yeah.
But otherwise, what would dinner be like?
Well, every day dinner? Every day dinner would be Chinese dinner.
Then
rice
how about?
And two or three dishes.
Uh-huh.
And golly, when we were kids, we didn't have refrigerators in those days, so you were sent to the market and you bought meat enough for that day or mm-hmm. that meal. And you gauge your supplies and everything accordingly. You don't buy for the whole week like we do today.
And then how about the vegetables, since you're...
Well, vegetable being in the produce business mm-hmm. and near the markets was no problem.
Mm-hmm.
Always had. And the whole family were keen on vegetables. Typical Chinese, you know, where you're light on meat and heavy on vegetables.
Then how about breakfast and lunch? What kind of food did your family eat?
I think half the time you would have toast and milk and fruit, but invariably, my mother used to say, oh, in the cold winter, you know, uh-huh. nothing like hot rice to stick to your inside. She would cook rice for us invariably in the morning, and we'd have ham dan and lap cheong, lap yok,
mm-hmm.
lap ab. You know, she said, oh, that keeps you warm, you know.
How about ham yu?
Ham yu, yes, we had ham yu. But something happened to me after I was 8 and I... fish is not something I enjoy. In fact, to this day, I don't. Fish is not in my diet.
Mm. Now, how about observing Chinese festivals?
Oh, I think the different friends, these pioneer women,
mm-hmm.
they would make these gok jai in. I think it was called qi, siyap tei, and they would bring it and they would pass it, exchange it among the family.
Mm-hmm.
Because in those days you didn't have the choice and the complete line of Chinese foods and things that we have today. So the pioneer women fell back on what they knew, what they brought over from the old country, and carried on the tradition on those different festive days.
Mm-hmm. Now, what were some of the festive days do you recall that they celebrated?
Well, as a kid, it didn't sink in too much, except that I tied it in with the type of food it was. For instance, the Chinese Zhong.
Uh-huh.
That came at a certain, was that in May or mm-hmm. something like that? And in a very hot summer, it was quite a treat to have this jello made from, what was it? Dai Choi Go, wasn't that one of the things, and then the liang fan.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't buy that in the markets in those days or in the restaurant. The women had to make it, or you didn't have it.
Now, how did they keep that cold, you know?
It was just more or less room temperature. Oh, we did have ice boxes, but not refrigerators.
Now, did you have an ice box?
Yes,
there?
we had an ice box. I can remember the first ice box that was that we bought was oak.
Mm-hmm.
And you put the ice from, you know, we opened one door and you put the 25 pounds of ice in there, and then the air would circulate around.
Mm-hmm.
With tin lined.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had to have a tray in the bottom to catch the water from
mm-hmm.
the ice.
Did most families have ice boxes?
Well, previous to the ice boxes, I think we had cabinets that had screens on it, fly
mm-hmm.
screen.
And where was that kept?
That was in the back porch.
I see.
Where there was more air circulation.
Uh-huh.
And again, you did not cook up big batches of food. You more or less tailored it for the day's needs.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have a lot of leftovers. Or if you mm-hmm. did have, you would put it in this cooler with a fly screen. That would keep it at least overnight in
mm-hmm.
the colder months. In
mm-hmm.
the hot summer, that would be something else. Electric refrigeration came quite a bit later.
Mm-hmm. Then how about any other festivals? How about
again, I only recall the different festivals because of the different type of cakes or,
uh-huh.
or food that, uh-huh. that was exchanged.
Mm-hmm. How about Chinese New Year's? Was that a big celebration in your family?
Not so much in my family.
Uh-huh.
And here's the peculiar thing about that. My mother was so Christian
mm-hmm.
that she felt that Chinese New Year's was more heathen,
mm-hmm.
was more the old traditional thing. If you're a Christian, you observe the Western calendar.
Uh-huh. Do you recall any kind of celebrations in Chinatown that you went to? Or
not until the 30s, one of the first big events in Chinatown I recall was called the Moon Festival. And I think that was either 37, 8, right along in there. And there was a contest, and there was a queen.
Mm-hmm.
And Los Angeles Street, which is where the plaza is,
mm-hmm.
it was roped off, and there were booths set up, and different foods sold. And I remember, and I think this had something to do with raising money for relief also, because I remember Anna May Wong made an appearance, and then there was one booth where kisses were sold.
Who was it sponsored by, the Moon Festival?
It was sponsored by the younger group that belonged to the Chamber of Commerce. It wasn't exactly the old Zhonghua,
mm-hmm.
and it wasn't the CACA. It was more or less of a Xiongwei, you know,
mm-hmm.
the different merchants. And I was different friends and neighbors down the street all pitched in,
mm-hmm.
Hammer and nail, and built booths and did a little painting. And that was the first festival that I can recall in Chinatown. They roped it off from Sunset down to where the Gagne building is now.
Mm-hmm.
It was about two blocks. It was well attended.
Mm-hmm.
But besides the booths and the foods, I think we might have had, I'm sure we had lion dance and firecrackers. It might have been the first dragon came out at that time too.
Hmm. Then how about I take it that Chinatown was pretty small in those days. Did they have parades like they have now?
There's some old pictures in the archives that Bill Mason had down mm-hmm. there. And it showed, and it had been taken soon after 1900, New Year's.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows the men with bowler hats and the pigtail, you know,
mm-hmm.
and the long gown and the mm-hmm. Chinese shoes, and the little children all decked out with finery.
Mm-hmm. Did you see?
There was some sort of you could hardly call it a parade, but there was some vehicle, and there was mm-hmm. some. I remember seeing these pictures. These girls are decked out in their Chinese mm-hmm. costumes and headgear.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was the beginning of the very first instance of Chinatown parade, and I think it did interest a certain segment of the Caucasian friends that had come down to mm-hmm. Chinatown, got in on that much of it.
I see. Now, earlier you had mentioned that, you know, since your parents were in business, they had to belong to certain business organizations. And your dad belonged to the CACA. And this
Well, the CACA, he belonged to it, and so many others belonged to it because so many others like himself were supposedly native sons of the Golden State.
Mm-hmm.
But in actuality, because of the immigration set up,
mm-hmm.
they were something else.
Mm-hmm.
And they banded together. The CACA in the early days had great meaning because they looked out and they lobbied for laws and backed candidates that would be beneficial to the Chinese. Membership in the Chamber of Commerce was mainly because if you were in business in Chinatown, you would get together and have your code of ethics or whatever it is for your business protection and business promotion.
Mm-hmm. Now, when your father was in the produce business, was there a produce merchant
yes,
group?
Yes, there's a merchant group down there. I forget what the exact name of it was, but it was the Produce Merchants Association.
And
they would have three or four officers.
Uh-huh.
And it was to further and protect the business transactions, their dealings with others, and so forth.
Now
public relations.
I see. Now who set the prices?
Of produce?
Uh-huh.
Supply and demand.
I see. Now how about in the restaurant business? Was there a restaurant
association?
Association.
Not yet. There was, they weren't that numerous to
uh-huh.
to have a restaurant association yet, and we're speaking of the 20s and 30s.
I see.
Because when we opened our second restaurant in Chinatown in 1933, I think we came in as number 7.
Now how are prices set then?
Who set the prices?
Mm-hmm. Say for?
Well, you set your own price. If you set it too high, you'll suffer.
Mm-hmm.
It's like supply and demand, and to entice new customers, you try to offer. So I think we were one of the first ones to offer what we called then the family style dinner.
And what was this?
Well, we printed up a menu. I think it was a fixed menu.
This is the end of the duplicate of tape 1, side 2 of the interview with Gilbert Leung.